It's a joy to be back in Wishaw for the ministry meeting. Tonight it's good to see so many gathered. That's a great encouragement to see everyone here tonight. And we trust the Lord will bless us as we turn to the scriptures this evening. I'd like to read tonight in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. To speak about an old age pensioner tonight. I was down in Bromborough on the Wirral for a week there, and I got home a few days ago, and one of my responsibilities when I was down there was to address the Bible class on the Sunday night and to speak about young people who made their mark for God. And the subject I was given was Joshua in the early life of Joshua. And they were taking that text from Exodus chapter 33, Joshua, a young man. And as I read some books about that subject, I discovered that Joshua might have been over 40 when he was described as a young man. So I don't know how that works. But the more I read about Joshua, no harm to Joshua. He's a great character and I enjoyed my preparation and speaking to the young folk. But the more I read about Joshua, the more impressed I was with this man, Caleb. We're going to read about him from Joshua 14 as a wholehearted 85-year-old laying hold of the promises of God and certainly not acting as if he was in retirement or had gone on strike or anything like that. Shall we read the chapter or part of it anyway? Joshua chapter 14, verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. Down to verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. We know that God always gives us a blessing when we read his word. I think this is a tremendous chapter, a crowning glory, if you like. At the end of the life, well, I say at the end of the life, we don't know when Caleb actually died, but he's 85 and he's got more years behind him than ahead of him. And this is the main chapter you get from the Word of God regarding the life of Caleb. He always seems to be in the shadow of Joshua. But Caleb doesn't moan. He lives 40 odd years or more with a lot of moaners and complainers, but that spirit of carping criticism doesn't affect Caleb. He doesn't moan that he's not top man. He's quite happy playing second fiddle to Joshua, and you know, this chapter teaches me he's played it with all his heart all the days of his life. I am greatly impressed. I am so enthralled with this man, Caleb, that I want to enthuse you tonight to strive after the characteristics of this old man. 85 years of age, and how many times do we read about it? He wholly followed the Lord his God. Would this not be a great ambition? We're halfway through the month. I'm a wee bit later coming than usual in January, so I've not been able to give my New Year address here at Wishaw, but we're on the threshold of a new year, the year stretching out. Would it not be a great ambition? Would it not be wonderful on our spiritual priority list to be like this man, Caleb? Wholly followed the Lord. He's a great example of wholehearted service, of loyalty. His name actually means a vigorous old dog, and it's not really complimentary when you think about it, unless you're a dog lover, but you can see that he's loyal, he's wholehearted, he's uncomplaining, he's submissive, and you know the greatest thing about him? The promises of God were real to him. I couldn't have picked the hymns any better. It was absolutely wonderful to see in the life of Caleb how the promises of God were real. You know, when I was a young lad, I remember going to this lady's house, an old Christian lady, on a Sunday afternoon between Sunday school meeting and ministry meeting, and she used to have a promise box. And when nobody was looking, I would get the wee things out, the wee tweezers out, and I'd pick and I'd have a look. I don't like that one. But five or six until I got one that I liked. Caleb laid hold of the promises of God. The promises of God were real to Caleb. And we're going to see that what was said to him decades earlier in his life, more than 40 years earlier in his life, God gave him a promise, and that illuminated his pathway, that motivated him in service. When everything looked bleak, when the strongest Christian, if you like, would have thrown the towel in, Caleb was still going until, along with Joshua, the last men standing. Only Joshua and Caleb started the journey in Egypt, finished it in Canaan. And he's a wonderful example of wholehearted service. You know, I don't know if you've ever read from start to finish Pilgrim's Progress. I think it's a good book to read, especially, it's good even in Sunday school. I think you can get it to teach your Sunday school class. But there's a character there in Pilgrim's Progress, Mr. Greatheart. I think Bunyan had Caleb in mind. Mr. Greatheart. And whatsoever Caleb did, he did it heartily as unto the Lord, and not to men. That's Paul to the Colossians. Remember, when Paul writes to the Colossians, he's writing to a lot of slaves who didn't have a minute, who did not know where they were going to turn to next. And I think Paul has Caleb in mind as well when he gets to the end of that great chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 about the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the gospel that we are saved through. And he says, Corinthians, listen to this. In the light of that, therefore, and we've been taught for years that we look back and see the chapter as a whole. And we look at the chapter, and in the light of the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. There is Caleb. There is Caleb, a bright, shining example of wholehearted commitment and service to the Lord. Wholly followed the Lord over and over again. It wasn't that he's telling Joshua, I wholly followed the Lord. It's there for us by the Lord himself and by Joshua and by Moses as well. Now, time will go very quickly. So I just want to give you the three headings I have here in my notes just to help us to understand the chapter. I think there are three major points I would like to make tonight. This is the great assessment of Caleb's life. It's a bit like the judgment seat of Christ for Caleb. We know that after we are called to meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, very shortly after the rapture, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. And you read about that in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 5, Romans 14. We can't escape it. Our service for the Lord is going to be manifested. It's going to be rewarded. It's going to be x-rayed by the Lord, our service. And Caleb really comes to this point where he looks back over his life. He looks back over all the different times of his life and times, all the different chapters. And what he does from verses 6 to 9 is he takes Joshua on a trip down memory lane. From verses 6 to 9 we have Caleb's reminder to Joshua. And it's amazing how in that reminder to Joshua, his mind is clear. He's not got old-timer's disease. My wife's grandmother, this is why I can never finish in time, but my wife's grandmother at one time went into a shop and I think she forgot something. I think she was ready to go away without paying. And she was going to say my Alzheimer's. She says it's my old-timer's. I'm very sorry. Maybe that was her story, right enough, seeing as she can get away with it. But Caleb's 85 here, and his mind's as clear as a bell. And he can take Joshua back down memory lane 40 years. And he says, do you not remember? Do you remember what was said by Moses, the man of God? That is very significant. And alongside that, there is the spiritual significance of this place called Kadesh Barnea. Because it was in Kadesh Barnea that the promise of God was made, and there is so much to learn from Kadesh Barnea. So if you're taking notes of it, if you've got a good memory, verses 6 to 9, Caleb's reminder to Joshua, and we want to think about the importance of Kadesh Barnea in that section, because Bible places are very, very important. Then notice from verses 10 to 12, we have Caleb's request. This is the whole point. This is what we're building up to. Caleb's reminder to Joshua was just a precursor to him saying, give me this mountain. Give me what was promised by God. I've bided my time, I've waited for the appropriate moment, but verse 12, give me this mountain. I wonder if we've got aspirations like that. I always apply this to my own prayer life. Have I got a big God? Sometimes by my prayers, I wonder if I have. Give me this mountain, and it's been good to hear the different brethren pray for the people of Wishaw. And there might be places in all our towns and villages and we think they're just a mountainous obstacle. Well, what's the spirit of Caleb? I'll be well able to take the mountain. You give me the green light and I'll take the mountain. And notice the significance of Gilgal, because it was the place Gilgal that Caleb makes this request. And because of that, there are ramifications as well. Now look at the balance of the chapter, verses 13 to 15, Caleb's reward. So we've got Caleb's reminder to Joshua, Caleb's request of Joshua, give me this mountain, and then Caleb's reward from Joshua. Verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. So very quickly, what about this first section? Verses 6 to 9, Caleb's reminder to Joshua. He takes him away back, 40 odd years back to Kadesh Barnea. And you know, he takes him back to that day when alongside Joshua, Caleb and Joshua and 10 other men were chosen to go from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land of Canaan. You see, they had known emancipation, they'd known salvation from Egypt. For over four centuries they had been, in bondage to Pharaoh, in Egypt. But God heard their cry. God took them over the Red Sea, and God set them on the way to the land of promise. And it came to pass that 12 of them were chosen on this reconnaissance mission to see the land. Well, I'm sure you know 10 were bad and 2 were good, and the 10 bad spies, well, God calls it an evil report that they brought back. He said, let's get back to Egypt as soon as we can. Totally irrational, because how could they go over the Red Sea? It was God that took them through the Red Sea. So they wanted to go back to Egypt because they saw the giants and they saw the walled cities. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And they had to admit, yeah, we did see it was a good land, but. And they poison the people of God. They affect, inoculate the people of God with this message of fear, so much so that they were crying and the whole nation was weeping. Whereas Caleb takes center stage, not Joshua. Caleb takes center stage and says, listen, I'm going to hush the storm. A good man or woman that can calm situations. I'm going to hush the storm. I'm going to still the storm because, yes, I saw the giants. But above the giants, I saw God. And our God is able. He's well able. He says, do you not remember what happened at the Red Sea? Do you not remember what's happened in our experience? Can we not trust God? And Kadesh Barnea became a watershed in the life of the children of Israel, because Kadesh Barnea really is the story of unbelief. The children of Israel had watched God at work. 2 million of them over the Red Sea on dry land. They'd watched as manna fell from heaven every single day to feed them. They'd looked at their clothes and they never needed a visit. Slater or Primark, and Primark is doing really well, I heard today. They didn't need a visit. Because God clothed them, fed them, and yet they thought, we've come this far, no further. We all face Kadesh Barnea in our Christian life. Maybe some of you folks are at that crossroads tonight. You're happy that you're saved. You're on the way to heaven. Christ is your Saviour. You're just a wee bit afraid about committing your whole life to Him. And baptism, don't fancy the sound of that. How can I speak so candidly? Because I was there once. I was there. I thought if I had to get baptised, well, there'll be certain demands placed upon me. But just to put it succinctly, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Kadesh Barnea became a tragedy because the people were so disillusioned that they were going to take stones and hurl them at Joshua and Caleb to kill them, to stop their voices. God's presence came down in the tabernacle and God said, see, for every single day that you have been gone to spy out the land, you're going to wander through this wilderness until the whole generation are wiped out and their carcasses fall in the wilderness, and it will only be the new generation with Joshua and Caleb. But my servant Caleb, he's of a different spirit. He's a different man. And it's not so much Joshua that gets the accolades. It's Caleb. Numbers 14:24, Deuteronomy chapter 1, is it verse 36? These different verses are really tremendous tributes to the character of Caleb. And you know, that's really all you've got to go on about this man. Numbers 20 and 21, Deuteronomy chapter 1, Numbers chapter 28, Numbers chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14. And yet he has listened to the voice of God, and he lays hold of the promises of God. And that never leaves him. God says, you brought a good report, Caleb. You've put your faith in me. God lays hold, Caleb lays hold of the promise of God. You see, while he was there in the land, while he was spying out the land and looking at the grapes of Eshcol and the land flowing with milk and honey, he thought, this is home. This is going to be my home. And he saw Mount Hebron and God said, see where your feet have trodden upon, Caleb.
that's going to be your land and your tribe and your families. And what he saw that day in Hebron touched his heart. And he knew that some point in the future he would return. 40-odd years have passed. He was 40 years of age that day. He was called to spy out the land. So 45 years have passed, because just for our young folk who maybe don't have a King James Bible, 4 score years and 5 is 85 years of age. Sorry for being so patronising, but I used to wonder what 4 score and 3 score was. But he's 85 years of age. And what's happened in the last 45 years? I used to think that when the children of Israel eventually did cross the River Jordan and enter into Canaan, I used to think, well, there'd be no big long wait, surely. They would just go right into Canaan's land and settle down, and all the villages and towns and areas would be inherited and distributed. Not so. There's a 5-year time frame of them crossing the River Jordan, and 31 battles had to be fought. 31 Canaanite kings had to be defeated. And I understand that the children of Judah were in the vanguard. And I can see Caleb the warrior going forward, front and centre. And until the last battle was fought, and until the appropriate time came, see, Caleb, I don't think, whispers a word of this to Joshua. I think Caleb was so focused, so wholehearted, so loyal to the purpose of God, that until we come to this chapter, when the countries were being distributed, and the tribes of children of Israel were given their inheritance, that along comes Caleb, the tribe of Judah, the royal tribe. And he says, time has come. I'm 85, and the appropriate moment has come is to take you down memory lane and just remind you, Joshua, of what was said concerning me and you by Moses, the man of God. Now, a lot of water had flown under the bridge. It must have been an awful ordeal going through the wilderness. Imagine watching 600,000 people die over a 40-year period. If it was on a daily basis the people died, it would be 85 funerals a day. Over 40 years. Caleb watched that. He listened to their complaining. He listened to their criticism. And he's never affected by it. What a man. What a tremendous man. And cometh the hour, cometh the man. He comes now to own the promise of God. Deuteronomy chapter 1 says, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I will give the land to him because he has wholly followed the Lord. Caleb, like Moses, endured seeing as seeing him who is invisible. He had very precious memories of Moses. He refers to him as the man of God. I think that's most telling, most respectful. Moses, the man of God, Psalm 90. Ezra chapter 3, I think it is, hundreds of years after the death of Moses, he's still referred to as the man of God. And Caleb respectfully refers to him as the man of God. The precious memories of Moses, the promise of the Lord, and the perseverance of Caleb is marked by confidence in God. He's marked by positivity and not pessimism. He is marked by infusing the people of God with a message that will help them and not hurt them. I could go on, but we're not going to finish if I don't move to the next section. That's his reminder to Joshua. But what is his request? Well, he sets the scene and he says in verse 12, in the light of the promise that was given to me, it's time for you to give me this mountain. And do you notice it's in Gilgal? He's asking for it. He's asking for it. Can I just say a word about the choices that we make and the desires and aspirations we have, and what we ask for really shine a window into our hearts, don't they? What we ask for and what we
could I say, what we aspire to be really shows, indicates what we are and where we are spiritually. This man wanted. He wanted the mountain. He wanted Hebron. And it wasn't for self-aggrandizement. It wasn't for pride. It wasn't for status. He just wanted what God had promised him. That's like the book of Ephesians. It's possessing your possessions. It's going in and inhabiting the land in a spiritual sense. Not settling for second best. Not settling for spiritual mediocrity and just going with the flow and assessing your spirituality by the people round about you. That would have been terrible for Caleb to do. Caleb was marked by a different spirit. And Caleb here says, give me this mountain. It was a terrible day for Lot in the book of Genesis when Lot requested the well-watered plains of Jordan, which was like Egypt. You see, he was coloured by what he had seen in Egypt. Unfortunately, Abraham, his uncle, had taken him there. But what he saw there affected the rest of his life. And who can ever forget the words of the Lord Jesus? Remember Lot's wife. And it was because of Lot wanting the well-watered plains of Jordan, which was like Egypt, that he took his family down there. And well, you know the terrible, sordid details of Genesis chapter 19 and the following chapters. And it was a tragedy. Not so Caleb. Because he was a man who asks this request in the good of Gilgal. Can I explain? Gilgal is a place that means rolling. And you read about it in Joshua chapter 5. There's a whole generation that have been born and not circumcised. Circumcision is the truth of the covenant that was made between God and Israel, given to Abraham in chapter 17. And it's basically saying, God is saying, you're my people. This is the visible sign, this is the visible token that you belong to me. And in Joshua chapter 5, there was a whole generation who had to be circumcised so that the reproach of Israel, reproach of Egypt was rolled away. Now, I've not explained that properly. There's so much more to it. But that is just a brief resume of Gilgal and the significance of Gilgal. As we spiritualize it, it's the idea of dealing with the flesh. Flesh can raise its head in so many different ways. Pride, anger, whatever. You think of all these vices that you read about in Galatians chapter 5, as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. And we must deal with the flesh. And Caleb here, on the ground of Gilgal, says, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And notice what he says, he presents his testimony. He presents his testimony to Joshua in verse 10. He says, listen, don't you be worried about giving me the green light for Hebron, because I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. The Lord has kept me alive. He speaks about the care he's experienced. He speaks about the claim. He says, I'm as strong this day as I was 40 years ago. I wonder what sort of diet he was on. I'm as strong this day. I think it was one of the old worthies of another generation who said this one day. He says, when other old 85-year-olds were putting on the carpet slippers, Caleb was pulling on the climbing boots. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And he said, I'm as strong this day. Strong this day. And then the confidence he had in the Lord wasn't empty claims, it was real confidence in the Lord. He said, if so be, the Lord will be with me, and I will be able to drive them out. So that's the request. Very hurriedly, we come to the last section, verse 13. Really, can Joshua do anything else but reward this worthy old servant of God? Verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron for an inheritance. You see, this is what meant everything to him. This is what kept him going
It wasn't the reward of riches. It wasn't the reward of ousting Joshua and him sitting upon the throne. No, no. It was just what God had promised him. Just what God had promised him. I wonder if we treat the promises of God like that. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Do you really believe that? The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man will do unto me. And it was all because of what he saw that day. Hebron's a most interesting place. It means fellowship, association. And that's what Caleb was all about. In touch with God. In touch with his people. There's a lovely couple called Zacharias and Elizabeth. And you read about them, and where do they live? They live in the hill country of Judah. They just live in an elevated situation. And you know, that's tremendous. Caleb, give me this mountain. Now, we live in a world that is far from helpful to the Christian. In fact, we live in a hostile environment. And it is so good to, I'm linking Hebron with the local church. It is so good to come to the mountain and just to get elevated above street level, like the upper room. Just to come and my brother-in-law, you know, Stephen, I remember he had a study up in his loft at one time, and he used to pull the ladders up, and he couldn't hear a thing. He couldn't hear the hoovering. He couldn't hear anything that was going on. And I said, I'm going to get a wee sign for you. Shut in with thee far, far above the restless world that wars below. But you know, it is good just to switch off. I know we have to face things, and I know we have to have a testimony amongst our neighbours and work. But it is good just to shut off, to come to people, to be in touch with God, and to be in touch with his people. It's a tremendous place to study. You read about it in Genesis 13, when God made a covenant with Abraham concerning his seed, and it is the spiritual significant place of all the burials of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob. This 85-year-old man was willing to attack a stronghold inhabited by giants. Sons of Anak were there. And he says, give me this mountain, because it means more than life itself. Give me this mountain. Joshua blesses him. God gives him the green light. And we have to read into the next chapter. Verse 14, I think it is. Verse 16. And you know, he takes it. And then he makes a quite a strange statement. He says, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter. Kirjath Sefer means the city of the book. And you know, what he's doing is this. He's making sure that the person who gets his daughter is a man after his own heart. And Othniel, the Lion of God, he smites Kirjath Sefer and he marries his daughter, Aksa. He only wants the best for his daughter. And Caleb was not content to settle for second best. I wonder how that will find us this year. Will we be content to settle for second best, for spiritual mediocrity, or will we have this wholehearted characteristic that Caleb had, despite the depressing circumstances he lived amongst, despite the world, if you like, that he was inhabiting at that time, the wilderness with all its death, with all the stench of death and defeat on a daily basis, he rose above it, and for 40 years, imagine waiting for 40, more than 40 years, for this promise to be answered. See, God's delays are not always denials. And it was worth it all for Caleb to endure and overcome, keeping his eyes fixed on God, keeping his ears open to the promise of God. Give me this mountain. And he eventually got it. And Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb and the children of Judah unto this day. And the miracle has come, we have finished the chapter, and we trust the Lord will bless us. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for this tremendous example of wholehearted endeavour and loyal service to thyself. We thank thee for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. We give thanks, our God, for his desire to live for thee and serve thee and inhabit the land that thou gavest him. We do give thanks, Father, for these things that have been written aforetime, are written for our learning. We long that we might weave these lessons into our lives. We confess to thee, our God, we're not always wholehearted. Sometimes we're not even half-hearted. We long, our God, to be different. We long to be more Caleb-like. We long to have backbone in service. We long, our Father, to be bolder. The fear of man does bring a snare, but we long, our Father, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision, plan for the flesh. So give us help to put thy word into practice. Give us help, our Father, to have a greater dependence upon thee and a greater prayer life. We long, our Father, to be able to say in our life every day, give me this mountain. Think of unsaved relatives. Think, our God, of hostile people that we work beside and we live beside. Agnostics and so-called atheists. Father, we just pray that it would please thee to do a mighty work in our day and generation. So we thank thee for time together around thy word and at thy throne. We give thanks for the assembly here and pray thy rich blessing upon us all as we go home. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.